Welcome to the T&D podcast brought to you by TomTom. We think you're trucking awesome. You deserve a trucking awesome app. That's why today we're excited to talk about the ultimate trucking companion, TomTom Go Navigation. With premium features designed to make every delivery a breeze, Go Navigation ensures you reach your destination efficiently and stress-free. Hello and welcome back to the Truck and Driver Podcast. I'm Doogie Rankin and I'm joined today by...
Matt Hoyland.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, Dougie. I'm good. I'm very good, mate. Very good. How are you?
Oh, it's been the craziest last few weeks with getting the May issue of Truck and Driver out the door where I parachuted in to take over the editor's chair because Andy's been off with his slip disc. And not only that, I had to go and get cracking with the 132-page Scania special, which came hot in the heels of it. And as we record this, it's the day before deadline, and it just about killed me to get all the issue together a few weeks ago. But all the hard work's paid off in the end, and amazingly, I've only got two features left to sign off for that issue. So I am delighted about that, and I'm pleased with the way the issue has turned out. But having one of these big special issues come right at that time, it couldn't have been more difficult. But when you see the mix of trucks and the content we've got in it, I think we've knocked it out of the park on it. I really do. It's a cracking issue. The Scania special was our best-selling issue last year. So we've got high hopes for this one. We've got all sorts of different Scanias in that. And we have got an MAN special, a Volvo special, and a DAF special to come before the year end. And I'm going to try and squeeze the British truck special in sometime in autumn. But I really want to try and get a good variety of working British fleets into that. I want to, because if we do it, we might only do it once. Mm-hmm. So really want to get it as good as it can be. Obviously, the majority of the features in that are going to be Ford and Alpha and ERF-EC-based fleets, but we do have some other stuff in that. We've got Ford Cargos,
yep.
Seddon Atkinsons, I think we might have some Leyland stuff in there as well, all still at work.
Excellent.
But I don't want to go and sell it short. I want to make sure that we've got, we get the most notable fleets and sort of the best trucks. Because in some cases, there's maybe only one or two trucks running for certain companies and they don't necessarily go that far afield, so you don't know where they are.
Yeah.
So anybody who's listening as well, if you know of any Fodens or ERFs or anything else, give us a shout. There was a guy got in touch. Somebody was either the Isle of Man or Jersey, and he sent me a couple of pictures of a couple of Alphas, including a Mark One, mm-hmm. that were still working away there. And the pictures were just like poor quality, but I'd emailed him and I was like, oh, please get back in touch because we would be up for featuring those. And I've never been to the Isle of Man or Jersey.
No, nor have I.
So I would like to go there.
Yep.
Yeah, the Isle of Man looks interesting. Obviously, it gets super busy at times when the TT's on, but I would imagine it might otherwise be quite sleepy off-season. So, yeah, the guy sent me... I'm going to look that up now, actually, because the guy sent me a couple of pictures of these Alphas, and I was like, whoa, no way, never seen these before.
Yeah.
And he hasn't replied to me. I need to go and chase him up because I asked for more details on them.
I don't really know a huge amount about the Isle of Man other than there's a bit of a tax haven. There's no top-end speed
to
limit.
No speed limits, yeah. That's one of the things about it, isn't it?
Yeah, but it does look like a beautiful little place to go. So it's just not cheap getting there, even out of TT season. It's not... You're pretty limited to... how you can get there.
My work will be paying for it if I'm going...
Oh, that's true.
If I'm going out on official business. Right? I found the picture. The guy who sent me the picture was... Yeah, they are in Jersey.
Jersey, right.
Yeah, we've got one Mark One Ford and Alpha, and it's got the weird Jersey number plate, J22445. And then we've got another Alpha, which is a flat roof sleeper cab tractor unit, and it looks like it's a double drive. And that's got a jersey number plate on it as well. The name on it is AA Langlois, maybe Langlois or something like that. Langlois. Never seen or heard of them before, so I would like to. That's definitely. I love stuff that people won't have ever seen before, because they're out on an island somewhere like that. So yeah, hopefully we can get back in touch with that. I've just tried to look that up and nothing. Let's see what's on Google about it. The top hit, if you type in Langlois, prison for offenders who urinated on friend in park as a prank. I take it like that name must be native to, because it happened in Jersey. That name, well, it's quite an unusual. I'd say no relation, but Jersey, you know, how big is it?
Very small.
Yeah, well, you know, the top hat, if you type in that name in Jersey, jail for men who urinated on unconscious friend and rubbed their buttocks in his face. I kid you not.
clearly, not only a quiet news day, but also a quiet day in the jail by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, two men who urinated on an unconscious man in a park and rubbed their buttocks against his face have been jailed for 5 months. Laurie Ian Murphy, 32, and 34-year-old Jake Langlois, or Langlois, committed the offences in Parade Gardens at 12:30 on 4th of June this year in full view of tourists and children. Advocate Katie Ridley, prosecuting, told the magistrates' court that witnesses had called the state's police, with one saying, "The man appeared to be out for the count. It made me disgusted. I was shocked by what I saw." When the police arrived, the defendants were unsteady on their feet and slurring their words and smelt of alcohol, the court heard yesterday. Langlois told the officers, "We were just being silly lads, that's all it was." The pair were arrested for being drunk and disorderly and for indecent exposure. However, mobile phone footage of the incident, including the urination, was handed to the police, and Murphy and Langlois were then charged with committing a gross outrage of public decency. The court heard that Murphy had committed 157 previous offences dating back to his teens.
Flippin' heck.
Langlois was subject to a binding over order at the time of the incident. Sorry, this is just fascinating. I'm not going to do with trucks or anything, but I'm sure you all want to know more.
Oh, brilliant.
Advocate James Bell, defending Murphy, said he is truly ashamed of his actions. He has offered an apology. God, the subbing is non-existent on these regional newspaper websites. They're always full of spelling mistakes and stuff. He knows it was wrong to behave in that way. He also stressed that his client had pleaded guilty at the earliest opportunity. Well, if he's been videoed doing it, he's not exactly going to be able to plead not guilty, is he?
No, exactly.
And he had cut back on his drinking since the incident and added that the man that the pair had urinated on was a friend of theirs and had not made any complaint. So the guy that got pished on didn't even like complain about it. You know, maybe this is the sort of thing they do to each other all the time to wake each other up or something, eh?
But maybe. You know,
he said the guy had come to court to show there are no hard feelings. What are they like? It's all right, you know, I don't mind they peed on me.
It's fine.
One of those things. Yeah. Nicholas Muir, defending Langlois, said there had been an unfortunate atmosphere of pranking that day and pointed out, "The victim is Mr. Langlois's best friend. We must dismiss the shocking thought that he was a complete stranger." He added that Langlois's partner was expecting their first child. "This brings his future conduct into sharp focus. He accepts the responsibility that has now fallen upon him." He suggested his client could be given a probation order. Relief Magistrate Peter Harris said there is some suggestion of a prank that got out of hand. It goes way beyond that. An immediate custodial sentence is applicable in this sense. So they got 5 months in jail for pishing on their mate and giving them the old teabagging by the looks of it.
Yeah.
They take things pretty seriously in Jersey. 5 months in jail for that. I bet you, in a lot of parts of the country, people wouldn't even complain about that. If you went and did that in a park, say in Glasgow or some other places in the country, people would just walk on and ignore you. Jersey's obviously quite a well-to-do place.
Yes.
But that sort of thing has not offended you. But that's a beltery. He's cut back on his drinking. He's not stopped drinking.
No.
Well, that's not what I was actually looking for yet. This is obviously a common name, Lang Lois in Jersey. A shipwright and a carpenter. Yeah, there's like people that own businesses. This is like a Jersey name.
Yeah.
I think there's somebody who works for the head of compliance at Cavendish Fiduciary as well, yeah, and somebody else who's a trainee solicitor. Yeah, there's also Lang Lois Design and Build. Yeah, it's a big play. What's AAL Recycling? Here we go. I bet you these are the guys that own the Foden. Yes, on the website there is an excavator. Yeah, you can guarantee these are the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's AA Lang Lois. If I'm pronouncing that properly, but what else could it be? Lang Loy? Lang Lois? Oh, that's interesting. They've got a Dennis. You know, like the bin wagon?
Yeah.
It's like a six-wheeler, 6x2 rear steer with like a hook loader on it, with like the big box hook loader skips on it.
Yeah.
But it's a low height. It's a Dennis.
Ah.
That's interesting. I've not seen one of them before.
No.
Haulage and plant hire. They've got diggers, JCBs, dumpers, materials handling, lorries, Arctic. Yeah, it just says Arctic unit. Yeah, that must be their Foden Alpha. Yeah, interesting. That we'll have to go and find out who owns that and give them a shout.
Yeah, nice little jolly out.
Yeah, we'll just try not to get pissed on or.
Yeah, don't wee on anyone.
Yeah, I'll try not to with my heavy drinking in the park.
Yeah.
As I am prone to do. There's nothing, I don't think there's any, nothing comes up on the image search for it. Ooh, there's a Foden Alpha that looks just exactly like the Alpha I used to drive at Taylor Morrison on Auto Trader. $16,950 plus the VAT.
Tempted.
To be honest with you, if I was getting into being an owner driver with a tipper, a Foden Alpha would be a fantastic truck to have. The problem is now certain spares for them. I think you would really need to have a yard, and then you've got potential things like the Edinburgh ULEZ zone, the Glasgow ULEZ zone.
Yeah.
So it just makes it unfortunately tricky. It looks like quite a tidy thing, but you know, if something goes like a compressor pipe or something on that engine, then even if you go to like Finning, the Caterpillar dealer, the chances, I mean, you'll be able to get the bit for it, but it'll have to come from America potentially. So
yeah,
I think it would be a tricky thing now. But yeah, looking at that's making me nostalgic for my old 8x4 Alpha Tipper. $16,950 plus the VAT. It's not a lot of money, but then again, you know, you could potentially go and have to chuck another 10 into it.
Yeah.
But once you'd done that, you would have something that was pretty bulletproof, but you're running the risk of all the bloody rules and regulations that go against these things now. It's a shame. There's actually quite a lot of Fodens for sale there. They don't seem to be automatically getting exported so much anymore. They're hiding it, sitting in the country.
Mm.
Ooh, there's an absolute minter of a one. Well, I say mint, it's been painted. Alpha 400 8x4 Tipper, 10,484 kilometres.
Bloody hell.
I don't think so. I think that will be 1,010,084 kilometres. I know a 6-plate, MOT 24, so the first 2025, 16-speed manual, Euro 4 Cat C12, no. What? Euro 4? I thought they were only Euro 3.
So did I.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that's probably a mistake. I don't think you could get the reduced pollution certificates for the Cummins engined ones, which kind of made them almost equivalent to Euro 5 for a while.
Yeah.
But I don't think the CATs ever qualified for that. Yeah, it's a nice looking thing. Hiva, tipping ram, double skin, insulated body, auto sheet, alloys, new tyres, reversing camera, automatic door. That would be a great tipper, that.
Yeah.
But of course, yeah, upright Eminox stack on it as well.
Sound nice, then.
Oh, yeah, it sounds lovely. I can. But that would be a great starter tipper for somebody. It's got the DAF mirrors, the later spec DAF mirrors on it. It's got the silver DAF headlights on it because all the Foden black headlights have fell to bits now.
Yeah.
That's a nice looking lorry, that. That's one of the tidier ones I've seen for a while. It's got alloys on it that are actually polished silver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's got everything on it that you could want, really. It's got chutes in the back door as well.
Yeah.
SVO6AUO. Nice looking lorry, that. I'll save that link if I can remember. I'll maybe go and put a post online if anybody on the podcast wants to go and have a look at those Fodens. But where were we? Anyway, what have you been up to recently? What have you been driving?
So still pretty much mostly on the wood shavings and sawdust. I did do a run out to France about a month ago now, I think it was, on the pet van. Took a couple of dogs down to Saint-Tropez, which is very, very nice, other than having man flu all the way there and back, which is a bit of a shame. But it was just nice to get out of the rain and the cold and get, well, the rain kind of followed me all the way down to about Lyon. And then once I got through Lyon, the sun sort of finally came out and it warmed up a treat, which was absolutely lovely. And I stopped just after a payage in a little parking area to go to the toilet. And there was a Dutch Mercedes Sprinter with like a fairly large body, and it was another live animal carrier. And I just happened to send a, because I parked next to it, took a couple of pictures and sent to Matt, who I do the work for, said, oh, you know, I'll just park next to this. And he replied eventually saying, I think they're the only company in Europe who've got a giraffe trailer for transporting live giraffes. It's about 5 meters tall, so it needs permits to move about for obvious reasons, so I need to do a bit of investigation on this, because he helped get some, I can't remember what it was, permits, or he helped with a movement from, I think it was somewhere in Holland, it was to Porto in Portugal. So the route plan would be quite interesting, because obviously France is 4.5 meters. I'm not too sure what it is in Spain, so you'd have to be sort of coming off the motorway and going around, you know, every sort of motorway bridge that you can't get underneath. So that'd take a fair bit. That'd take a fair bit of planning.
Yeah, giraffe trailer.
A giraffe trailer.
I guess you can't make them duck, or you can't like tip them on their sides, really.
No, not really.
Yeah, but I suppose it'd be less of a problem in the UK with our higher bridges, but over there, different kind of different ball game. Eh?
Yeah, definitely. So,
when were you down there?
That was about a month ago. It was just after the. That was just after Easter, I think it was.
No, I was in Spain on holiday last week. I went for 4 days to Alicante.
Yeah.
Which I thought would do me good and help me like recharge and recover after I was feeling pretty sick after getting the last issue to bed. And it was sunny, but the wind would cut you in half the whole time. I felt so short. Yeah, I packed all my summery sort of stuff, and I never came out in jeans, trainers, and a jumper the whole time.
Flipping egg.
I was raging. I like, felt so short-changed by it that I want to look into go somewhere for a few days in September where it's guaranteed to be scorchy. I was physically like raging about it. And then I caught a cold in Spain as well. massive rampant sore throat and that as well. I was really hacked off about that. So I was...
literally and metaphorically.
Yes, absolutely.
Other than me little jolly to France, I've just been on the usual trail to King's Lynn and Red Lodge and Snetterton, basically. So nothing exciting, but it does give me a chance to do other things like writing and researching and various other bits and pieces, which is it's quite nice, really. It works in quite well. So, yeah, it's quite good. I don't know if, speaking of, we talked about Iveco's earlier.
Yes.
Don't know if you've seen or not, but they are sponsoring the Metallica tour this summer.
Yeah, funnily enough, because I know that you had sent me a picture of the new Iveco S-Way, which is in Metallica livery.
Yes.
And Bob Beach phoned me today, heading back over. He's been over on the continent doing some freelance work. And he said he'd spotted the Metallica branded S-Ways as well. And these are the new model ones as well.
Right.
The easiest way to tell is the Iveco badge on the front is now a different font. It's a new shape.
Right.
But those are the ones, they've got the updated interior. They've got like the digital dash and things in them. There are visions in them. So that is actually the first examples of the new model truck.
Right.
And of course, they're LNG gas powered.
Yes.
As well. So yeah, interesting looking lorries. Are like black and sort of luminous green with Metallica stamped across the front of them.
Yes. I think there was going to be a couple of electric ones, but I've got a feeling they're not going out on the tour now, but I could be wrong. But there was a couple penciled in.
Yeah, well, you would have to know that you would be able to charge the things wherever you get to. It wouldn't really do to miss your concert because your truck's got a flat battery or something. But
no.
Yeah, I mean, those LNG 4x2s on the continent, you get absolutely massive range out those big tanks you get in those. And the LNG infrastructure in Europe's ahead of what we've got, so they're a really viable option.
Well, yeah, it's good, but almost not good enough, because I don't think there's anywhere in Austria that you can fill up, because the Austrian company Müller bought a couple of them, and they're a bit of a disaster because they couldn't fill them up in their home country. And I think they've had to move on to some other work. I can't remember the exact story with them because they can't fill them up in Austria. And
that's strange. It's very strange. You'd think the Austrians would be quite on top of that. Or there would be a gas supplier who would be looking to move into that market, because there's certainly German trucks that run on LNG. I mean, I liked my LNG Stralis that I drove, but the problem is in the UK that these gas trucks don't really work in 6x2 configuration. You need those big tanks on the 4x2. And of course, a great many people could potentially be running 4x2s, but it's just not a viable option for buying them, because people just don't want to potentially get caught out with it, which is a shame. I'd said with the advent of Euro 7 coming in and they're looking at brake particulates and tyre particulates, then we should really be looking to move a lot of trucks onto 4x2s, because it takes a whole load of extra axles and brake discs off the road.
Yep.
So something like that kind of needs to happen. But whether or not it will, like I've been saying for ages, that 8-wheeler tippers should be allowed to run at 34 tonnes instead of 32 now, because they're all plated to do it. They've all got the capacity to do it. You know, everybody's running at 19.5 tonnes now in their 8-wheelers.
Yeah.
19.7 if you've got a good one. What did we have 30 years ago? You had Fodens that could take 21 tonnes.
Yep.
And so where's the progress in any of that? That would be an efficiency saving. And because the trucks have got that much heavier with the bigger cabs, safety equipment, emissions and bigger engines and everything like that, I think there needs to be some moves. And of course, Ireland have got those 5-axle rigids as well.
Yeah.
That we don't have here, but you know, the government's just generally completely incompetent when it comes to all this sort of stuff. And yeah, if we get another government in soon, they're not going to be any better either. So.
No. No, sadly. So, but yeah, going back to LNG, I've quite often seen some Italian Ivecos in the UK as well. So I think the range is pretty good, isn't it?
The range is massive. Yeah. I used to go the length. You could go the length of the country in one. There weren't that many places that you needed to fuel up. I was away over to the Republic of Ireland with mine and back again. I was away up to the northern tip of Scotland. I was away to Cornwall. The fueling network was better because you had the fueling station at Lyme and you had the one at Carlisle and the one at Les Mahago, none of which are there now.
Right.
Which is the chicken and egg thing.
Yeah.
You need the infrastructure, but nobody wants to put the infrastructure in if there's no trucks. Nobody's going to buy a truck if there's no infrastructure. But I still reckon the gas is a good alternative option to diesel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with HVO, which is the hydro-treated vegetable oil diesel, which is, in our country, it is sourced from sustainable sources. You get it from, like, byproducts. There is a risk with it because you can produce it from palm oil, which is potentially destructive if you don't do it responsibly. But we do it responsibly in this country. But the problem with HVO is that it's more expensive than regular diesel. And who can voluntarily put more expensive fuel in their truck?
Yeah.
There should be like a tax break on HVO to make it the same price or cheaper than diesel. Mm-hmm. To promote more people to use it if it is cleaner than the fossil fuel variation. But who's really listening? We've still got these vague sort of statements coming out about how everything's going to go electric. And we know that while the manufacturers are building electric trucks that could do a job in a lot of places, there's never going to be infrastructure in place to go in debt. So,
yeah. Did you see that Ashford truck stop's been bought by BP?
Is it?
Be like a it's to be like a charging hub. So, you know, they're going to install electric truck charging points in there.
That's a spit in the ocean.
Yes,
really. And it's it's, you would need that rolled out on an international scale. And if every truck stop has to go and put in a whole load of charging facilities, they're all going to need substations attached to them. Like, yeah. The investment in infrastructure is phenomenal. And it's besides the point, there's not enough truck parking as there is. We need more truck stops. The government did that thing where they chucked a pittance amount of money at a few to expand facilities, and all the big boys got the money.
Yeah.
It's frustrating that, because it's... we need new facilities, not just, well, I mean, it's good to expand on ones that are already there, but it's just so difficult. Overheads are massive on a truck stop, and there needs to be like an exception to them on business rates because of the space that they take up, because they should be deemed essential. But, you know, the government doesn't understand any of that. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. So BP Pulse, BP Electric's vehicle charging brand, has acquired the freehold of one of the largest truck stops in Europe, Ashford International Truck Stop in Kent, as part of its strategic drive to create a Europe-wide network of electric truck charging infrastructure. Strategically located off Junction 10, Ashford Truck Stop is close to Dover, UK's busiest ferry port, blah, blah, blah. The site has the capacity to host approximately 20 megawatt chargers, 10 400 kilowatt chargers and 125 100 kilowatt chargers. This capacity is subject to power connection availability and the pace of electrification in the UK and European road freight sector. It could enable BP Pulse to install a range of charging options suitable for both the on-the-go and overnight HGVs, and so on and so forth.
It's just going to be such a fundamental change to the way that things work. You're going to see like guys coming across from Europe with electric trucks, and then you've got to be guaranteed to be able to charge them.
Yeah,
in all these places. And like, yeah, can you imagine? It's got the capacity to go and put all these things in, but is the network, and where's the power going to come from? All this kind of stuff. It's,
yeah.
Diesel's going nowhere. No, and when you consider the price of these electric trucks as well, some companies have got one or two to show them off and get the green points from them, but it's so difficult when, you know, these things can cost upwards of £350,000.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be getting the rates to go and reflect that.
No.
So, I don't know, just... Yeah, the way forward, in to my mind, is it's a mix of things. You can have your electric for your distribution work, your last mile sort of stuff that's going into city centres.
But yeah,
there should definitely be more of a push towards HVO and more of a push towards using gas trucks, which would entail, say, more use of 4x2 vehicles. You know, you could put them up to 42 tonnes. It would pretty much level out the payloads in a lot of cases. But is any of it going to happen? There's just nobody in government or power who's got a clue about any of this sort of stuff. And I don't know what, like, the Road Haulage Association's saying or doing about any sort of stuff.
Probably nothing stuff, now and then.
Stuff like that. So it's all just going to rattle on. As we are, as we roll towards whatever it is, was it 2040 or something, they want to completely get rid of diesel. Yeah, but we'll just see what happens with all of that in the future, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But, as it stands, there's some great... I mean, diesel trucks continue to improve. Bob Beach was telling me this week, he's had the new Actros, which is like the very latest, it may be Euro 6F now, I'm not sure, but it was a 480 Actros, the latest version of it, and it's actually, the Actros has kind of fallen away to one side because, the dealer network's basically non-existent in Scotland and things, and so many people were running Actroses 10 years ago, and they're much rarer now, but Bob says that this latest Actros is a massive improvement under the skin. It pulls much better, it handles much better, the gearbox is better, the mirror cams are better on it and everything. So that'll be quite a well-kept secret now, that.
Yeah.
Everybody's got improvements coming out this year. MAN's just, their 520s are filtering out now and they're all getting a good write-up. But say Iveco's got updates with the digital dash. Volvo's launched their aero range with the new FH16. Scania's got some big updates coming with their digital dash and their extra, extra large cab coming later in the year as well. So, and obviously the super range there's not long out as well. So there's a lot of stuff happening across the different manufacturers here and there. Everybody seems to be going for these digital dashes now, which are all well and good, but I've heard a few cases in different trucks where the screen just goes black and it takes out, obviously, you've got a lot of stuff going through that dash. So sometimes it needs a software update or something like that if it goes down, but it can be a bit difficult if your screen's completely blacked out and you can't see anything on the dash and you've got to drive using, you know, the speedometer on your phone to see what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced about these completely digitized systems. There's a risk, I think, especially with buttons and controls as well. You need to have all your essential controls on buttons on the dash and not hidden behind a touch screen in case for whatever reason it goes down. But
mm-hmm.
It's a rush for digitization and electrification. It's the way things are all going.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah, but because I was going to... What was the last truck that I had? It was the Scania 560 Super, which I've got written up for the next issue, which was great. I was actually... My next driving work is I'm going to be doing some tanker work for Shuttleworths.
Yeah.
It was Joe Ashton who is in Team T&D now and he comes on the podcast. So I've arranged to go down there next week. And I was going to arrange a demonstrator to go and work for that week. I'm going to go down and do a couple of days training on the tankers and then I'm going to go back down for the next week and probably be out in the road all week. But they said to us that there's a DAF XF with a manual gearbox sat there with my name on it if I want it. I said, let's go for it. Let's do that. Rare opportunity to go and spend some time in a manual gearbox truck, which is something I haven't had for quite some time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You're listening to the Truck and Driver podcast brought to you by TomTom. The TomTom Go navigation offers a specific set of truck features. You can set your cargo and truck dimensions for specific routes so you can drive confidently on suitable roads, making every journey efficient and reliable. Truck yeah.
You encountered any manuals lately or anything like that? And what have you actually been driving truck-wise?
So I've been in a Renault T-Range Arctic, and the eight-wheeler is the off-road version. I can't think of the model.
Range C.
Yeah, so that's what I've been in. Now, the eight-wheeler's gone in for inspection today, and I'd noticed somebody else took it out Tuesday. I was in it Wednesday, and there was a funny old squeaky noise, and I thought, that sounds a bit like the brakes, but I'm not too sure. So anyway, when I dropped it off for inspection, just said there's this noise that needs looking at. And they said today there's a bearing on the prop shaft that needs replacing. So the parts should be arriving tonight. So it should be fixed. They should start at about 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I've got a job to King's Inn first to do. So hopefully by the time I'm back, it'll be ready. If not, and it's going to be a while, then potentially I'll be in the spare truck, which is a version 1 FM12 8x4 hook loader, which I believe is a manual. So
it will be if it's a version 1.
Yeah, it's on a W plate, I think it is. So I'm
kind of retro, W's 2000, so that's 24 years old.
Yeah, so I'm kind of... It's not actually very secret. I've kind of told everybody that I actually want to take that rather than the Renault for the day. So, which was sort of met with raised eyebrows mostly. It's like, really? Yeah, no, most people hate that thing. It's like, no, I love them Volvos. I was actually going to ask if I could take it out anyway. So, it might have worked into my favour regardless. So, hopefully, get a spin out of that.
Yeah, get some pictures of it, do something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Team Truck and Driver.
Yes,
I don't know. What's offensive about that? I mean, unless it's like an absolute wreck inside or something, but I don't see, if it's otherwise in good condition, what's wrong with that? People just like not to drive a manual.
Possibly, yeah, in an old truck. And I mean, realistically, the amount of work that the trucks do where I'm at, I can't see how it would be wrecked, to be honest. But I mean, we all know what some drivers can be like. So, until I actually get into it, I'm not going to pass any judgment as such. But yeah, I'm secretly hoping for that. But speaking of manuals and whatnot, my mate Tim Freeman is still running his 2000 version 1 FH12. He's got that back on the road. He had a newer FH4 that he's since sold to his brother, and he's just gone back to his trusty old version 1. He's just doing sort of 3-4 days a week, sort of localish, but you know, we will stretch the old rubber band now and again if need be. And I've seen him twice this week, sort of heading through Thetford Forest, and that truck is absolutely immaculate, and that is going to hopefully be featured fairly soon. I just need to get some nice photos of it. Yeah, it's a cracking truck. He's owned it from new, so 1st of September 2000 he got that home, so coming up for 24 years he's owned that truck now. Lovely.
The build quality on those version 1 Volvos is spot on. They're really solidly built. I like everything about them, from like the traditional Volvo steering wheel to the whole the bank of analog dials in them. It's just at the point where it's got enough comfort and sort of mod cons in it to make it a viable proposition today, while also being kind of nice and retro. Yeah, I'd jump at the chance to go out in a version one. I loved getting that time I had the shot of Volvo's FH16 that was restored. Got to spend the day in that. That was a lovely thing to drive. Bob Beach got to go and work it for the week, which it did do very well, although it was heavy on diesel, which would count against it in the sort of modern era. Going back to manuals again, I think I'd mentioned somewhere about a Mercedes Axor that I drove, that had it, Pollux had it, and it's a hired unit. And a guy got in touch to say, I've got a new Mercedes with a manual gearbox. And I was like, a new Mercedes? And he said, it's a six-wheeler Arox concrete mixer with an eight, it's brand new with an 8-speed knockover manual gearbox in it. And I was like, no way. I said, that's supposed to be super rare, but it's actually a left-hand drive. It's in France.
Right.
Which I thought, but I was just amazed to see that 8-speed side-by-side gearbox lever in a brand new truck.
Yeah.
But I think it worked with it because there was the guy that got in touch with me from Norway who's got a brand new MAN TGX with a manual comfort shift in it as well.
Yes.
Left-hand drive. And I was like, I think it's, although autos have pretty much been completely, the manuals have been almost completely deleted in right-hand drive form, it does seem that it's still possible to get a few of them in left-hand drive.
Yeah.
I guess it's because it's just a much bigger market for them. And some of these trucks will be going to developing markets as well, where they would still request manuals, so that it is possible. So, yeah, I'm getting the guy to send me some more pictures of that Arox, because it's just quite fascinating to see that. It doesn't have like the iPad dash that the Actros has. It's got like the traditional, the older shape kind of dash, which you can still specify in them as an option, as far as I'm aware. So that was quite an interesting thing to see. So they are still knocking about there in small numbers. I do still want to know, because we've just done the Scania special. I've got the MAN special coming up later this summer. And I would love to know, I think the last year that MAN did manuals was 2018, I think.
Yeah.
And apparently they only sold like a couple of them that year.
Yeah.
So I would love to know who got them. I would love to find the latest possible MAN manuals, because I would love to get something like that into the magazine.
Yeah, are they still about?
Yeah, I would imagine in 2018 they should still be about. I wouldn't imagine they would have been exported. It's the sort of truck that
you'd buy they would probably hold on to them. Yeah,
it's a very.
It's not a fleet spec motor, is it? It's a bit of an unusual order, isn't it?
No, they're probably working on timber.
Forestry or something like that.
Running like regionally somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd like to, that Norwegian guy, I would like to try and organise that for the MAN special. Scania have actually invited us out to Norway later this month, which is an electric truck event.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was trying to work out where I was, and I was like, I wonder if I could go and visit the guy with the MAN manuals at the same time.
Yeah,
but I don't think it really works out that way. I think what I'll probably try and do is speak to him and see if he's got a couple of any mates in Hollidge, over there, which he pretty well have. So maybe I could go over with Steve, the photographer, for the weekend, and we could go and do maybe like, you know, 3 photo shoots of some Norwegian trucks for the magazine. That would be an interesting thing to go and do, because that manual one's a real kind of oddball, that. I'd also like to know who's got the last manual R-Series Scanias, because they stopped them, so somebody in the UK must have the last of those.
Or possibly Ireland.
Ireland, good chance. Yeah, it seemed to be for a while that it depended on your dealer as to what you could get, because there were some people that were told that, you know, you can't get them anymore. And then you've got a guy over in Ireland who's got an R660 manual. And he was like, somebody else had been told, no, you can't get that, no way. For a while there, it depended who you spoke to, whether or not they were even willing to spec the thing up for you. But yeah, I would like to find those, and also I'd like to find out who's got the final DAF CF manuals. Have you seen there's a tractor unit that MV Commercials had up for sale for a while, a DAF CF, and it is beautiful. CFs are obviously, they're kind of, tractor units are more associated with being fleet spec trucks, but this one that MV Commercial got is metallic grey. It's got an upright stack, it's a tag axle.
Yeah.
CF, 530 horsepower, full leather interior, fridge, 16-speed manual gearbox in it.
Flipping
it. It's an absolute cracking looking thing. It would be the sort of, the closest you would get as a modern equivalent to a Ford and Alpha, really. Mm.
Yeah, too right.
Yeah, it's come up for sale a couple of times and it always gets loads of attention whenever it comes up for sale.
Yeah.
But that'd be a cracking thing for Sunday if you're that way inclined, you're wanting something like that. Because the CF, it's interesting because while the bulk of them are fleet trucks, you do get the odd one that gets quite a lot of love.
Yeah.
I always liked them. Not encountered as many of them as I have XFs over the years, but the ones that I have done, I always liked. The space cab, let's say, it's the same cab as the Alpha. There's a surprising amount of space in it.
Yeah.
Like the, obviously, you've got the big hump in the middle, but the dash and all the controls and everything are always nicely laid out. And I've got a bit of a soft spot for them. I would imagine that. Well, people will say like the DAF's 530 engine doesn't go, but that's not really the case. If you find that it doesn't go, it'll be because it's eco-moded, long ratio geared up to the max. If you had one with a manual box in it, or even the automatic with a shorter diff ratio, so it sits at like 1200 on the limiter, and the performance software option, those 530s do actually go well.
Yeah,
they do have like a fit. They have to have a good bit of grunt about them. It's just a matter of being able to realise it.
Yes, very true.
Because did Terry Seaman, did he not go and do another DAF like a Foden?
Yeah, he's got two now.
Is that an XG?
I think it's an XD.
An XD?
XD or an XF, one or the others. Definitely not an XG. I'll have to find out. I need to speak to Terry. So, but yeah, he's got two now.
Yeah, with the Foden badges on them.
With the Foden badges, the whole lot. So. and it's great because every time I see them pop up on social media, they just split opinion. Just so many people just take so much offence to them, which I find quite hilarious, really, because it's all a bit tongue in cheek, and don't take us as seriously. And personally, I think they look great. I mean, I've always liked Terry's livery because it's different and unusual, and it's nice that someone's painting trucks still as well, rather than just having white.
Yeah, I've actually found it. Because the original one that he did was a Space Cab XF.
And I can't remember whether it was actually DAF did it for him or whether he actually asked for it to be done.
It was, the DAF dealer helped out.
Yeah.
Helped out with it. But the other one that he's got is it looks like it's an XF. It's got mirror cams on it, lightweight pusher axle. And it's just basically, instead of the DAF logo, it's got the Foden badge in the middle of it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, it's all just a bit of fun.
You
know, if that winds you up and you're upset about it, you really don't have a lot going on in your life, to be honest with you. You know, it's just a bit of fun. But you get people that were really political about, it's not a true Foden after like the 4000 because it's using like the DAF cab.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
The top story is if you type in Terry Seaman Foden DAF on Google, it's the truck and driver story that comes up first, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. So, yeah. And there is a chap who's got one of his old 4000s, the 4380, restored in his colours, which I think he used to drive for him.
Ah, well, I think we've got a DAF special coming up at the end of the year, so it might be good to do an article on Terry's fleet in general.
Yeah.
The last time we did do just that one XF.
Yeah.
It would be good to go and look at like the fleet in its entirety.
Yeah,
which would include this new Fodenized DAF, but also all the other ones as well. Not just focus on that. That'd be a nice thing to go and do, I think.
Yeah,
I was supposed to. I was annoyed because I was supposed to go to the photo shoot that day, and then I got pinged on that bloody COVID notification thing.
Yeah, I remember you saying. Yeah,
told that I had to go and isolate. I deleted that off my phone after that because that was just nonsense. Yeah. COVID tyranny.
Yeah. Blimey. That seems such a long time ago now, doesn't it, COVID?
It's all just a blur. It's all just a blur from 2020 through to 2022.
Yeah.
Just, strange times for everybody. Strange times.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was great on the road. I definitely remember that. It's lovely.
Yeah, no traffic at all.
Yeah, especially doing the... I was doing a load of rural work around like the north end of Essex, sort of Suffolk border, where you just didn't want to meet anything with a tanker, and it was just lovely. You could just get on with your day and get the work done. It was, oh, yeah, good times.
Yeah, it was like for some drivers to look back on it, fortunately, and drivers were, of course, considered sort of heroes at that point. The people that were out there keeping the country running, which, of course, didn't last.
No. We used to get people waving at us, and yeah, they're waving again now, but just with less digits raised on the hand, unfortunately.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
Normal services resumed.
Yes, indeed. It does seem like it does seem there's like a little bit of distance from that now. It's kind of been like forgotten about.
Yeah.
A little bit, but. Yeah, hopefully we never ever have to go back to that again. That would be horrendous.
Yeah.
Just having a look through some of the Terry's photos. Somebody's got a rake of them on Flickr.
Yeah.
A lot of CFs.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the fleet is CFs.
Well, the ideal thing for bulker work.
Well, they said lighter than an XF, aren't they?
Lighter than an XF, and I like the low height cabs on them.
Yeah,
always liked them. God, they look quite like the Euro 5 one looks quite retro now. Like it looks quite old fashioned. I've got to say the Alpha is a better looking styling treatment on the front of them between the two.
Yeah,
it was definitely the nicer looking out the two. But the DAF did get the big skylights in the top pod. This time went on, which are pretty neat that the food never got. It's just got the little tiny marker lights on it.
Yeah.
Aye, interesting that. Interesting. So, yeah. Aye, so, I mean, just to round things off, I'll be going to Truckfest in Lincoln this weekend. It will have been and gone by the time this podcast comes out. And it's supposed there's thousands of trucks booked into it. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
I've actually, because I've done nothing on my fleet of cars for ages and I wasn't going to have time, I've hired myself a vehicle to go down there, which has turned out to be a Vivaro or a transit van.
All right.
Well, it was £135 for a van from Friday to Wednesday because I'm going to use it to go and do a bit of running about and moving some stuff. But a car, like a Corsa, was like £450 to hire.
Heck.
And a van was £135. And I'm like, well, all these vans these days have, like, they've got cruise control and aircon and all that in them anyway. So I was like, well, I'll just have myself a van. So Steve, the photographer, and I are going to be rolling down to Truckfest in my Enterprise hire van for that to go and get a whole load of... feature material together, hopefully, go and get some phone numbers together because we're very much on the lookout for new trucks to feature. MANs are on the lookout. Well, we're on the lookout for everything, but we are on the lookout for MANs and a special issue coming up. Andy, our editor, is going in for his operation on his slip disc on May the 7th, so hopefully he'll be able to recuperate and get back to work soon, so I don't have to do as much work. Go driving more. We've got RTX as well, which is in a month's time. That's from the 4th of June. So I've got that to go to as well.
Yeah.
Already arranged to meet quite a few people at that. That'll be a very busy event. And then, of course, there's what did you say? There's a show on at Gaydon, isn't there? There's a commercial.
Yeah, so the... Yeah, the CVRTC show is just after RTX, and just the weekend before, if people are local to East Anglia, on Sunday the 2nd of June, there's the Foxfest show at Ipswich, because Saturday's a sort of set-up day and Sunday's a sort of real day for it to be open to the public. So it's all for charity. So if you are around the sort of Suffolk area on the 2nd of June, there is a truck show going on.
And it's called Foxfest.
Foxfest, yep. So, look, so it's all for charity. So it's a worthy cause. And, yeah, it's really sort of the show season will be well and truly underway by that point, won't it?
Oh, yeah, I see it there. It's got a Facebook group, Foxfest Suffolk.
That's the one, yeah.
And, yeah, there's actually a newspaper report, rave review for Foxfest charity truck show at Foxhall.
Yep.
Yeah, a rave review, a newspaper report there, and nobody got peed on by the looks of it, because it wasn't held in Jersey.
So no.
There you go. There you
excellent.
Go. Yeah, so any other business, anything you want to round up anything on?
No, not that I can think of off the top of my head. So, no, I think we're all good, really.
Yeah, cool. Nice one. Oh, well, good luck with the Volvo version 1. I hope you get to go out in that.
Yeah, me too.
Tomorrow we can find out how you got on with it next time I catch up with you.
Yes, mate.
Yes, and I say thanks to all you podcast listeners out there. If you've got any trucks you would like to be featured, any stories or anything, please do get in touch via the regular channels. And we shall catch up with you guys again soon. Thank you, Matt.
Lovely. Cheers, Doug. You appreciate it.
Take care. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truck and Driver podcast, proudly sponsored by TomTom. As a special thanks to our listeners for trucking through the holiday season, we're giving away 1 month free of TomTom Go Navigation Truck. Simply download the Go Navigation app and use the code TRUCKYEAH. That's TRUCKYEAH when subscribing. Safe travels, folks.